This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2, numero dos of the Adam Carriker Show. All right, it is the noon hour, and that means it's lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2. By Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try the burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Dude, I am legit hungry. Like, just thinking about it makes me really hungry. Mulberry Barbecue does a phenomenal job. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. One more note. We'll have one monthly remote at Mulberry Barbecue's South location, and our first one will be Friday, July 25th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All right. Well, let me finish my story. I was going to ask for more plays or things that have been texted in. Is there a few more that have come in?
Yeah, there's a few more.
All right. So back to my story before Jake really interrupted me. But... the 2006 Big 12 championship game. I remember it very well because we had the ball first. And Zach Taylor completes a pass to Maurice Purify, my guy. Love Mo. All right. Fumbled at the 13-yard line, our 13-yard line. Oklahoma goes in to score the first time they get the ball, unfortunately. And I forget if it was the first time they got the ball. No, actually, it was not the first time. I think it was Oklahoma's third possession. They ended up scoring, going up 14-0. They ended up beating us 21-7. But I've always wondered, had that, and fumbles happen, obviously. But had that first fumble not happened, because then you're right away, they've got momentum. Right away, you're behind the eight ball. Then they finally do score on an actual drive on offense, and it's 14-0. And that feels very, very different than 7-0, especially right out the gate. That game has haunted me personally ever since the final whistle of that game blew. And I just wonder if that play doesn't happen, not placing blame on any one person or anything. Things happen. All right, there's plays throughout that game where I'm sure if I watched the game film again, I'd be pretty happy, and there's plays throughout that game I'd probably be pretty upset with myself. So not placing blame on anyone or any one thing. Just if we could change something in that game, maybe they don't get their first drive at our 13-yard line, and then maybe it's not 14-0 when they finally do put together a drive. And maybe the outcome of that game is different, and maybe people feel differently about certain things, whether it's the 09 Big 12 championship game, whether it's later on Big 12 championship games versus Oklahoma where we had big leads, and unfortunately the bad guys came out and scored more points at the end of it. Maybe this game goes a little bit differently. I mean, I don't know if this would add a ricochet effect or the butterfly effect, as you said, but, you know, we faked a punt against Auburn in the Cotton Bowl. I think that was like our own 17, or I'd have to look up the exact yard line. I remember being on the sidelines. What are we doing? And actually, it would have worked. Just the person who was open was not hit. But so there's always going to be plays here and there. But when you ask for my career, one that I think could have had the biggest ricochet effect, because there's certain monkeys that have been on Nebraska's back, getting to a bowl game, a winning season, beating Wisconsin. And no matter how small the monkey is, until you get it off your back, it's still there. And sometimes that can add. Now, can we get to a 9-win season? Can we get to 8 wins? Can we beat a ranked team? Can we get back to winning a conference championship, which I actually think is significantly harder than just getting in the college football playoff now. So I would actually say getting in the college football playoff once we win 9 or 10 games. And then maybe you win a conference championship or compete in a conference championship game. However many years down the road that is, hopefully it's sooner rather than later, but get back to a New Year's Six bowl game. The aforementioned bowl game versus Auburn was the Cotton Bowl. And the instant you were like, well, what about your career, Adam? I'm not going to lie to you. I had that, I just lost Chutes and Ladders and Yahtzee feeling arise inside of me because I knew it wasn't going to be a positive thing. So thank you for asking me that question, Jake.
Well, I get a few more games I thought during your career while you're thinking about it. Texas Tech game, what was that, 05?
No. What are we doing? What are we doing?
How about the 06 Terrence Dunn fumble against Texas?
Hey, where's Nick Stanard? Where's Nick Stanard?
Hey, those are just a few one plays that could have swung things.
I wanted a butterfly effect. No, I wanted a butterfly effect.
No, I do have my plan that I've decided after thinking on it for a while. I think would be 1999 Grubb Buckhalter fumble against Texas. If they win that, then we do stay up late that night and watch the championship game. I think our parents would watch us because I think Nebraska would be in there. And if Frank could have taken home a championship in 1999, who knows what happens with Nebraska the next 20 years.
That's a good point. I'm still mad at you for bringing up those other plays. I'm trying to still listen to what you're saying without just jumping over the table.
Because in 2005, if you beat Texas, then you would have probably went to the Big 12 championship game because you would have had the tiebreaker over Colorado.
No, that's true. Now you're jumping all over the place, and I'm still mad about some of the other plays that you brought up. So we're going to come back to your thing, the 99 thing, because I can't move forward until I address some of the things you said. So the Texas Tech game in Lincoln, I mean, we had the game won. It was a fourth and goal from like their 10, their 12. We drop a defensive tackle into coverage. It's a zone drop. He catches it. If he just simply takes the knee, falls down in the end zone, it's our ball, touchback, game over, we kneel, end the game. He does what any defensive lineman is going to naturally do because we never get the ball. Tries to run, fumbles, they get the ball back, they end up scoring. What was the other stupid play that you brought up?
2006 against Texas.
Oh. I ever since that day, I have felt so bad for T. Nunn because he's a Texas kid.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You have any idea how bad he wanted to win that game? And then, again, it's not his fault. There was what? Probably 120 plays that could have that led up to that play. And I guarantee a lot of those could have gone differently. So everyone focuses on what happens at the end of the game. So again, not placing blame on anyone. I've always felt bad for him being a kid from Texas. That had to be, it was an extra sting for everybody because it's freaking gag me you. All right. And the bad guys came out on top that day, but just being a kid from Texas and then that being the play that led to their final score, that had to be extra hard. Yeah, man, my senior year, you look back, a lot of guys on that defense that ended up drafted. My junior year, we actually led the nation in sacks, had 50 sacks. My senior year had a bunch of guys that went on to play in the NFL. And a lot of games that could have gone either way. We still won 9 games that year, despite really should have beaten Texas, did not. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. Really should have beaten Texas Tech. I mean, literally, there was that was the year before. That was my junior year, actually. That was my junior year. Because the defensive tackle was a senior and I was a junior. Yeah. He was a year older than me. So that's a separate season. But you think about some of these games that could have gone either way. Just little things here and there. I talked about the fake punt versus Auburn. And they beat us by 3. And we handed them 7 points in the first quarter on that fake punt. And the Oklahoma game. I mean, this is football. This is sports. When I say you don't know what's going to happen until the ball, that funny-shaped ball is kicked off and it's going to bounce all over the place. Like, this is why I say that, because you don't really know what's going to happen. You're getting a smirk on your face. What is the comment you're reading?
Well, it's just somebody is attacking me, and I don't know.
Good! I support this person. Read the comment and pause for effect when necessary, Jake.
All right. He says, Jake's dream football game is Iowa versus Minnesota. So far, not offended. In the snow.
You should be. That's highly offended. Offensive. Hey, that's Iowa versus Texas, even worse. Dang.
Iowa versus Minnesota is a Florida Rosedale. Best trophy game in college football.
Wow.
In any case, in the snow with a Scott Frost pregame speech and a halftime show by male Texas A&M cheerleaders. So.
Dude, you got to read that whole thing again. You get that just right. Kept going.
Yeah. I liked the beginning of it. I wasn't, too offended.
That kept going. Now you should be offended. I hope you are.
I'll read it again. Jake's dream football game is Iowa versus Minnesota in the snow with a Scott Frost pregame speech and a halftime show by the male Texas A&M cheerleaders.
Ooh. Dude,
Yell that's leaders, I think is what they're called.
That is one of my favorite comments we have ever received. I salute you, sir. What was the name of that texter?
This is just an unnamed texter.
I salute you, unnamed texter. What else is on there? Hey, folks, feel free to attack Jake Have at it right now, okay? All right, if you'd like. Is there anything else, though, seriously, from the text line?
It is kind of some interesting other thoughts. I'm trying to go through it because I try to find where it was. Someone says, what about the momentum killer for the Big Ten title game? Kenny Bell, best block ever, called bogus targeting penalty. But Nebraska was still down by quite a bit. I know, like, to his point, momentum, but I don't know.
Isn't that the game where it was not close?
It was not close.
Yeah. So I understand what you're saying, but that game was not close. You know what's the most why did this become a topic today? Why? Well, I know why it became a topic, because I asked the question and then you decided to attack my entire career and everything I've ever done in my life. But okay, I guess we asked for it. But I do want to get to Dylan Raiola, all right, and him, man. If he could have a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, these aren't even bonkers numbers. Just throw over 20 touchdowns, have under 7 interceptions, which is technically 3-to-1. Again, I would take a 16 to touchdown passes to 8 interceptions, a 2-to-1 ratio, but we will get to that. All right. What'd you mention right before I started to tease Dylan again? You mentioned something and I was going to address it and then I went blank. You've got my mind in like 15 different places right now. You really do.
Well, I can keep reading more texts and keep going, but the Big 12 title game. Yeah, I don't think that would be the play I would choose.
It was the Big Ten title game. Okay, that's where it was. You know the most frustrating thing about that game to me?
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
You do remember they were the third seed in leaders, or I forget if we were leaders or legends back then. Yeah. Let's say we were leaders and they were legends.
We were legends. Yeah.
Okay. They were the third team out of the leaders because the top two teams were ineligible for the Big Ten title game. That to this day is something that, like, we won. Would you say we were legends?
Yeah.
We won the legends. They were third in the leaders. And not only did they beat us, it went the way that it did. That was one of the more frustrating games for me. The snow game, the record setting rushing performance in 3 games in the snow game, unfortunately, versus Wisconsin, and that game, because neither game was close. They weren't doing anything fancy. If you go back and watch the film, there's nothing fancy about it. And it's just like we had no answers. Those were the most frustrating things for me. Now we've gone from games that were close and one or two plays decided to now games that were just on the other end of the spectrum. All right. Is there anything else? Is there any other comments, any other plays that have come up? I think kind of the consensus. Oh, the 99 game. Again, got me bouncing all over,
that's
dude.
That's right.
The 99, that's a fair point, because do you think we beat Florida State in that national title game? Now, as Nebraska people, we inherently want to say yes. Okay, I'm just trying to be objective here. We did lose to Texas. We lost. Florida State was number one, the first team to ever do it in the history of college football, preseason number one, wire-to-wire, undefeated, and won the national championship at the end. No team had ever done that before, because that was a big deal. Bobby Bowden, Peter Warwick, all those guys, okay? Now, we did lose to Texas. You remember the Colorado game? They about came back and beat us, and we beat them by 3 points at the end that year. Now, to be clear, that 99 team, I think they were absolutely, absolutely a national championship type team. My question is, would we get the team that showed up versus Tennessee in the Fiesta Bowl? Would we get the team that showed up in the Big 12 championship game and stomped a mud hole and gagged me you and walked it dry? Or would there be some of the other things that kind of showed up here and there throughout the season? Like, which team would we get in that national title game? If we get the team that showed up in the Big 12 title game and in the bowl game, which, by the way, were the last two games of the year, so that's most likely the team we would have got, then I take Nebraska. But if there's fumble issues or something like that, which showed up a couple of times, I'd have to go with Florida State. Florida State was really good. Who do you think actually would have won that game had we made it into the game over Vatek?
Well, I'm getting very specific here, but was that the year Peter Warwick had to sit out the first half or something? He had gotten to some, I mean, so I think that might have factored into
I'll look it up.
Something like that going on. So that could factor into it too. But yeah, I mean, I think we would have liked to see it, right? It's tough to tell. I don't feel like 1999 is the team that we would say is the best Nebraska team of all time, right? Where you would argue they would beat anybody. but they were up there. They're probably among, you know, along with 83, the best team not to win a championship at Nebraska. And there's probably a few others you can throw out there. So I'd be fascinated to see that. And it would have been so good because in, you remember that in 99, that was the decade of Nebraska and Florida State. Mm-hmm. And people will still go back and say Florida State was the best team that decade, even though they have one less championship than Nebraska because they were in the top five year in year after year. I think if Nebraska played it, we'd put them in the rightful spot in the top five, but not at number one.
It is the year that Warrick was suspended.
Okay, yeah.
So you're correct.
That would have factored in.
Oh, man. I will say this. I do think the thing that frustrated me about the national title game that year, Florida State and Va Tech was undefeated. Like, I knew Virginia Tech really had no shot of beating Florida State unless there were just some horrible calls and a bunch of fumbles. Virginia Tech, I mean, Michael Vick put on his cape that night. He turned into Superman, and they still lost by 17. They could not have played Florida State any closer. 17 was the closest they were going to play Florida State. Virginia Tech had a good team and Superman. Florida State had 22 of the best players in America. And so that was the thing that always frustrated me. As entertaining as that game was, Virginia Tech played the game of their life. Michael Vick played the best game he played that entire year. He was a redshirt freshman, and they still lost by 3 possessions. Nebraska, whatever the outcome, that is a one-possession game. And this is back in the day when we had success in one-possession games pretty consistently. Here's why I would take Nebraska. Because when I first posed the question to you, like legit, the Colorado game, the initial Texas loss, I was like, oh, I'd probably take Florida State. And as I was talking through it, the two best performances Nebraska had that year were their last two games versus their two toughest opponents, Texas, who they just manhandled, all right, in the Big 12 championship game, and then Tennessee, who was a top five team. T. Martin was back after Tennessee had just gone undefeated and won the national title in 98. And by the way, beat Florida State for that national title in 1998. And Chris Winkie was the quarterback for the Noles. I think Nebraska wins. And there's multiple reasons why. Number one, they were playing their best ball. Right then and there was their best ball. Number two, Nebraska had the previous times that they played Florida State and frankly outplayed them, but the bad guys came out on top. They would have that, and I think that would be something that would kind of ride and they could carry into the game. And I actually think as long as they play like they did against Tennessee, and that game was never close. We ended up winning by 10. We were up by 24 at one point, and I remember we took a knee at the Tennessee 10-yard line and ran out the end of the clock. It was 31-21. It easily could have been 38-45-21, and that was a good Tennessee team. And I would take Nebraska because they're playing their best ball at the right time, and I think the losses earlier in the decade to Florida State would have been something that would have propelled Nebraska to beat them in that 99 championship game, kind of like it propelled them to their win over Miami in 94, you know, because they had the, what was the exact mantra? Unfinished business. And I think that that's something that would have carried forward. Now, if we make the mistakes that were made in some of those earlier games, Florida State's too good. They would have won. But I would take Nebraska, and at worst, it's a one-score game. That was the only thing that ever frustrated me about that Virginia Tech game, was that, well, that was the best they were going to do, and they still lost by 3 scores. All right, any other thoughts, any other texts there? And then when we come back from break, we will chat about Dylan Raiola's upcoming season.
Yeah, now you got me looking through the 99 Florida State team to try to see what I thought would think about the matchup there. But, you know, it's similar. Like you said, Nebraska may have struggled against Colorado or whatever. They had a one-possession win over Clemson, who was 6-6 that year.
Fair point.
There's going to be some ups and downs, so it depends on what team they would bring to the table. That's one I'm going to have to play in heaven once I get there and ask, you know, ask to see what the situation I would play out, because that would be such a great game.
All right, so do you have your final decision on the one play or even one game that you could change that would have the butterfly effect and the biggest impact on the trajectory of Nebraska's football program going forward? Do you have the one play or the one game that you would change?
Yeah, like I said, I think because I wouldn't, you know, if the butterfly effect is in a possibility, then I wouldn't necessarily go back to the 83 Orange Bowl. I think a lot of people would kind of think about that 84 Orange Bowl, 83 season. But if that's in play, I think the 99 one makes a lot of sense to me. So that fumble to beat Texas in the first game, and of course, like you said, they beat them in the Big 12 title game. that's probably what I want to see for the trajectory of the program. Again, what if Frank wins a championship in 99? Mm. I mean, who knows what happens from there?
Dude, that's such a great point, because when I wanted to propose this today, that didn't even pop into my head. All the plays we've already discussed pretty much popped into my head, and some others as well. That one did not, because you make a great point. Nebraska beats Texas, then they're undefeated. I assume they smashed them in the Big 12 championship game. Now, sometimes it's different in a rematch when you're the winner versus loser, loser versus winner, but I think we'd beat them again.
We could have our own butterfly effect in there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it bites us in the keister there, Jake, but we play Florida State. Now, this is assuming we beat them. We would have been the underdog going into that game, okay? But let's say Frank wins and they win that championship. He gets way more benefit of the doubt going forward. Maybe he stays longer. Maybe he's given more runway. I mean, remember, we won 10 games. I say we because I was here. I was a redshirt freshman. We won 10 games the year he was fired. Yeah, I'm pausing for effect. We won 9 games in the regular season. He got fired. We ended up winning the bowl game. We won 10 games the year he was fired. What if he'd have gotten more time? And that's a rabbit hole we can go all the way down. We're not going to. That is an intriguing one. My only caveat is there's too many question marks. If we beat Texas and Austin, do we then beat them in the rematch, or do they somehow have the advantage as the loser? I think it's hard to beat the same team twice. And then we'd have to beat Florida State. Now, I actually just sat here and said I think it would happen, but I'm not going to sit here and say definitively. So I'm going to go to the 09 Big 12 championship game, because I think that changes a lot. I think that has a ricochet effect going forward, a butterfly effect going forward. And another one of those monkeys that's on our back would be off the back, and it'd be something that I think would have a butterfly effect in a positive manner for Nebraska's football trajectory from that point up until now. So back then going forward up until now. All right. Any other things off the text line before we
break? Still have people texting about the 1 second against Texas. Even one fan saying he's a true Husker fan through and through, but he thinks there should have been 1 second put back on there. So a lot of people. And then Old Dad says, by the way, the 93 team was the best team to not win a title, in his opinion. I've threw out the 83 and 99 teams. And that's the one's fascinating too, is because if they win in 93, do you win in 94? Do you still have unfinished business in 94? What happens in 95? You know, all that sort of stuff. So it's all fun to kind of run down.
That's a fair point, because a lot of the guys that come here to the freaking ticket are like, yeah, it kind of propelled them, the unfinished business. And they'd put 118 back on the clock after their winter workouts were done, and they'd go pound it for 118, because that's what was left in that last drive when they tried to go down a score versus Florida State, led to the field goal. Maybe it doesn't have the same impact. Or maybe we win 3 in a row. You know, there's that too. As far as the best team, dude, I would give 93 the edge over 99. We're splitting hairs and then splitting hairs again here. You know, most people are going to go to 83. Don't forget about 82. To me, it would be 93 or 83. I've talked to some guys who were around the Miami program then, because I wasn't even born yet. I was born in 84. I was born 6 months later after this game was played, or 5 months later, May 6th. And they did say Nebraska's offense was the best in the country, but the defense... This is not my words. I'm just sharing things that were said to me. It was outdated and archaic. Mm. And I wonder if you bring that same defense, if you could, 83 Nebraska versus 93, because our 93 defense was, they held Charlie Ward and Florida State to 18 points. And that's if you don't say William Floyd fumbled. Otherwise, it's 11 points. I would give the slight edge to 93 as well, just because of the defense there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.